Heavenly Father, I pray that we are holy as you are holy, we are righteous as you are righteous, because you have given us the righteousness of Christ and taken our sin away. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 to 18, TPT. What friendship does God's temple have with demons? For indeed, we are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will make my home in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For this reason, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that is unclean, and I will embrace you. I will be a true father to you, and you will be my beloved sons and daughters, says the Lord Yahweh Almighty. The background to these verses comes a few verses before, in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 15, TPT. Don't continue to team up with unbelievers in mismatched alliances. For what partnership is there between righteousness and rebellion? Who could mingle light with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? More thoughts on this matter come from 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 to 11, TPT. I wrote you in my previous letter asking you not to associate with those who practice sexual immorality. Yet in no way was I referring to avoiding contact with unbelievers who are immoral, or greedy, or swindlers, or those who worship other gods. For that would mean you'd have to isolate yourself from the world entirely. But now I'm writing to you so that you would exclude from your fellowship anyone who calls himself a fellow believer and practices sexual immorality, or is consumed with greed, or is an idolater, or is verbally abusive, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Don't mingle with them or even have a meal with someone like that. And 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 confirms the holiness of our bodies. It says, have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of Holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. That's your physical body, which is our temporary tent while we're experiencing this part of eternity. Now, this is clearly not calling for spiritual snobbishness. Jesus himself spoke against it in Matthew 9, verse 10 to 13. Amplified. Then as Jesus was reclining at the table in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners, including non-observant Jews, came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, those who are healthy have no need for a physician, but only those who are sick. Go and learn what this scripture means. I desire compassion for those in distress, and not animal sacrifice. For I did not come to call to repentance the self-proclaimed righteous who see no need to change, but sinners, those who recognize their sin and actively seek forgiveness. That's linked up with Hosea 6 verse 6, Mark 2 verse 17, and Luke 5 verse 32. I have heard of instances where unbelievers have been put off by the spiritual snobbishness of some believers, where they don't want to relate in any way to the unbelievers that are out there. And we are called to walk in love. So how do we balance this love and not fraternizing with the darkness? Well, this passage in Corinthians definitely applies to marriage. If a believer marries an unbeliever, they are setting themselves up for spiritual warfare in their relationship, and it is really unpleasant. I know I experienced it myself. It is no joke. It is an experience you don't want to go through. So if you are a believer, please, I beg of you, do not marry an unbeliever. Some people think it applies to business, and yet when I was in Joburg many years ago, part of the business network, and one of the businessmen there, the Christian businessman, was in partnership with unbelievers because his school buddies, who he knew well, they asked him to go into partnership with them, and he was working quite nicely with them, and they were obviously unbelievers. So I think, well, I know that in every instance, if you are considering going into partnership with unbelievers, you have to make it a matter of prayer. If you take the partnership to a simple case of working for an unbeliever, then half of the Christian workforce would have to resign because there are many unbelievers out there in business that Christians work for. big corporations, companies, etc. are, well, they're Christians and non-Christians in all of them. And you cannot just say, well, I can't work for that company because the boss is an unbeliever. Well, guess what? Then you'd be cutting yourself out from half the job opportunities because, like I said, many businesses have unbelievers and some of them are in management positions. So working with or working for unbelievers, I think, is not the issue here. Being in partnership with an unbeliever in business is a little bit more tricky, and you only do that if you really ask God's guidance on the matter and if it's what he wants you to do. A case in point is where a Christian discovered that the organization they were working for, at least one of the directors, was a self-confessed antichrist, and that person just wanted to stop working for them, refund the money, and not have anything to do with them. However, at the Bible study, the people encouraged that person to continue to work for that organization so that they could shine their lights into their darkness. So that person is continuing to send God's word to their group, and God's word does not return void. There's more on the topic of sin and grace in Romans 5 and 6. I'll read from Romans 5 verse 20 to 6 verse 3, TPT. So then, the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. And just as sin reigns through death, so also the sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought! We have died to sin once and for all as a dead man passes away from this life. So how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? So it goes on to Romans 6 verse 12 to 13. Sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then, refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. And in Romans 6:14, remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Romans 6:14 Amplified reads like this, for sin will no longer be a master over you, since you are not under law as slaves, but under unmerited grace, as recipients of God's favor and mercy. So there's no reason to be mastered by sin. There's no reason to be a slave to sin. We are on the winning team, and God in us is greater than the enemy in the world. And so we can have victory over our flesh, our sinful nature. And the last thought about our scripture for the day comes from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. So stop fooling yourselves. Evil companions will corrupt good morals and character. I'm talking about your inner circle of friends. I'm not talking about the people you reach out to, the people that you are friendly with on a lighter level where you can reach out to people and be friendly and be positive and just show God's love to the lost and hurting around you. I'm talking about your inner circle of friends, people that you relate to at a deeper level and whose lives you affect and their lives affect you. Those are the people you do not want to have in your inner circle, people who are not going to be a positive influence on your character. So keep your light lens clean and continue to shine your light.